This is Horribly Off Topic, episode number, I should have looked at the thing.
I'll look.
I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
That was, you know, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it has been. We've had some, have a tradition, if you're just joining us, if you're maybe joining us via the YouTube.
This would be 248.
248, okay. We have a tradition of botching the opening. It's not not always intentional. Sometimes it is. But I would say that is not the worst opening
tradition.
I've ever done. Tradition? I don't... do I have to drink? I don't know that reference.
What the fuck? We need to immediately bring up Brian's email, then.
tradition? You know, there was a meme this week. We're in a different room. I'm all over the place.
We're in my living room because yes. My wife is out of town on business.
Yes. Well, while the wife is away, we get to do the
podcast in another room.
Yeah. But so you got a meme over there. And as I say, there was a meme going around. There was a meme going around. And it was about remaking.
Ain't I a stinker?
Remaking the Princess Bride that somebody apparently that wasn't going to be named. Wanted to remake The Princess Bride, and I want to say it was what's his ass who plays the main character, who had a good tweet or something about that whole thing. And
yeah,
lots
he
of people...
was in the newest season of the Stranger Things.
Oh yeah, Carrie Elwes
Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Okay, yeah. Great singer. Not really. So yeah, that was the thing this week was remaking or not remaking a classic movie, which I have seen. But you just made a reference that I did not get. And yeah, I guess this would be as good a time as any to bring up email. We got an email. You can send us an email. To hot@clarkwoods.com.
It's still the old email address, and then maybe we'll get a new one soon. Who knows?
Maybe I'll remember to write that down as a to-do item this week. I we'll see.
And you know, you could always keep this one alive.
Right? Yeah. No, this one would forward to so hot@clarkwoods.com will forever and ever be.
A way for you to communicate with us
until the heat death of the universe will be a way.
Luckily, that'll just be
a couple years from now.
No, hopefully we'll be able to survive into at least our 80s, and then
yeah,
I think Canada is going to be the new Florida.
that's what the t-shirts are going to say. Yeah. Okay, we got an email from Brian.
Friend
of the show, Brian. That is titled "Soccer and Musical Theater." And Amazon, too. Did I forward this one to you?
Yes, I read it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, well, you know, it's hello. Did I get that right? I don't know. There's a lot of E's. There's four L's and four O's. So there's more of an E sound. Hello. I know. Hello. Hello.
I hope he's already writing an email saying that's not the way I meant
that's
for
not,
you to say that.
That's not what I meant. So Brian writes, hello. As a person that teaches writing, this must be directed at me. As a person...
Because I don't teach people how to write.
...that teaches writing, you should know that merely saying X is not Y is not a good argumentation. This is where I will bring up that I am an absolutely abysmal English comp teacher. This is why I teach creative writing. You can make a good argument by not make. I don't know what I'm saying. He is right. I should know that just saying one thing is not another thing is not a good argument. I should know that.
Yes. I mean, just because you don't necessarily
today's
teach,
utes.
You may not teach English composition, but you at least should know it.
In theory, I should. But I did almost fail English in high school. So, good old Barry Hazard.
That's well-tread territory. Yes. Listen to many other episodes.
many other episodes.
Hear about Chris almost failing
English. And then going on to teach creative writing.
And then our buddy, Will, also failing with the same teacher. But he did fail.
I almost failed. My brother almost failed. And Will did fail.
And he had to go to summer school that year.
Oh, gosh. But still, much beloved professor. I mean, teacher. Yeah, you know. Maybe not by the three of us, but by others I have talked to.
I had Mr. Carpenter, so...
That's a good name.
I was a much bigger fan. Senior year was very nice. He was a good... Like, the reading assignments he did a double up on Orwell. We did Animal Farm and 1984.
Oh, that's actually, I like that as a strategy. In my spring advanced fiction course, do two whole weeks on Andre Debuse and then two whole weeks on Roxane Gay later. So I like the approach. I got that one.
That's a song.
Yeah, well, you know,
by the Police.
I think someone could go so far as to say that is a work of art.
Wait.
I like that approach of working on multiple texts by the same author in the same semester in something that's still kind of a survey course.
There's a similar theme between the two, right?
Yeah, well, they're both written by a guy named George.
Yeah, no, but like there's, you know.
I haven't read either one of them, so I don't know. I mean, I can't help you there.
All right, well. Brian, if you're in the throes of your email that you're already writing.
I mean,
it's been a while since I read both of them. Could you remind me that, there's similar themes between those two novels?
Okay, so just for shits and giggles, have you read Johnny Got His Gun by Dalton Trumbo?
No.
Okay, that's what I read in senior year English. I read Beowulf.
I've read Beowulf.
Grendel? I can't remember if Grapes of Wrath was senior year or if it was junior year. But just to my point is a lot of those classics were selected for you based on what level you were at. So was Mr. Carpenter advanced
It was the advanced.
Okay.
It wasn't the honors. It wasn't in honors.
I think I was in average. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely wasn't in honors, and I don't think I was in advanced. Depending on the teacher, depending on what level you were at, you got different books. So there are things like Johnny Got His Gun, which I think is, and I don't mean anything sexual by this, a seminal text.
If you want it to be sexual, you say it's semenful.
Although I think, you know, considering seminal and seminal vesicles, you know, I think seminal is sexual somewhere along the line.
It is
somewhere along the vesicle. So I haven't read that.
So read more of that email instead.
Okay. So every time you bring this up, I want to hear your explanation. But then you just settle on, I don't like it.
So now, therefore, it's bad.
So we're talking about soccer.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Yes, so I just want to reiterate. So what Brian is saying here is that me saying that soccer is not good is not good argumentation.
Well,
soccer is not a sport.
Yeah, soccer is not a sport. Because you don't like it.
Because I don't like it.
That's not that. Yeah, that's not a good argument. It's never been a good argument.
Yeah, this is. It says, and then he finishes the paragraph by saying, "Chris, this is your chance to tell an interesting story regarding your definition of sports."
And you almost did once. I think you might have. Yeah. So what? How do you define a sport?
How do I define a sport? That is, well, I think maybe I should revise that. What is a spectator sport? Might be a better thing, because if I really stopped to think about it, soccer does involve physical skill, mm-hmm. quite a bit of it. It involves teamwork, yes. right? It is just boring as fuck to watch. And so
not if you know how to watch it,
but I don't. Okay. So maybe that's my definition, right? Is a spectator sport, right? As opposed to a sport. So I am right now.
I remember sitting through like high school football games and being bored to fucking tears.
Okay. Hold on.
And be like, that doesn't mean it's not a fucking sport. Because I didn't know the rules. I didn't know how to fucking watch the game.
That's why I'm saying I think now maybe I will stipulate soccer's a sport.
Yeah, baby.
But is soccer a spectator sport? And I think for me, the definition of a good spectator sport is that And we could tie into the video you were watching before we... I thought this video you were watching was very interesting.
We were watching Tim Rogers from Kotaku.com do basically a screen-by-screen recap of Link's Awakening, the original.
From memory.
From memory. And then they're showing the game.
They're showing it, but he's doing it with... Anyway, so I thought that was very impressive, and it tied into my feelings about rereading and revisiting things, which we can maybe come back to. He made some points in there about novice gamers. Just the game is teaching you how to play it as you're playing it. Right, you fall down three cliffs, and by that point, you should understand you can fall down a cliff in this game without dying.
Yes, if you fall down three cliffs and then your ankle is broken and your character no longer moves, you realize that maybe I need to reset and not fall
maybe
down
I
cliffs.
Maybe I need to rethink my life. Anyway, so
you put the email away.
I did, but I'm gonna come back to it. I'm taking Brian's invitation to make an argument about why I think soccer is not an interesting or good spectator sport. Now, I think baseball, arguably not that interesting a sport, is a good spectator sport because, yes, there are a whole bunch of things about baseball, like art. Smaller rules that you know you'd have to have somebody explain to you, but the general idea of baseball is pretty easy to understand. Well, there's a guy throwing a ball at another guy, and the guy that's getting the ball thrown at him has a bat. He can hit that ball, and then he gets to move around these bases, right? And he moves around in a particular direction. It's not clockwise, so that's a missed opportunity. But it's pretty easy to understand.
No, but like it's easy for you to understand because you grew up like watching and playing baseball.
Okay, cricket. I don't know the ins and outs of cricket, but I can understand cricket similarly because it's a dude getting something thrown at him and he hits it. Right?
Yeah, but like there's a thing that the pitcher, I think there's a thing behind the batter that the pitcher's trying to hit. So not only is the batter trying to do something, but the pitcher's trying to do something.
But yes, that is true. But I understand the gist of what is happening, right? And I don't need to understand I don't need to understand what a balk or a bunt is for most of the, I mean, a bunt is relatively easy to understand. I don't need to know what a bok is to understand.
I still don't understand a fucking bok.
I don't understand a bok. Okay, so...
Except if it's coming out of a chicken. No, you don't need to type.
But I have to write the description of this show tonight when I get home.
You don't have to write anything. Understand. Just say, Steve and Chris talk about stuff.
Unless it comes from a chicken. That's good. Okay, so golf, I understand, because...
Because you watched Happy Gilmore.
No, I did. I actually have never watched Happy Gilmore.
Of course, it's a movie.
I have seen. It's been on the TV.
It's an Adam Sandler movie that was relatively okay.
But I don't. I think we've talked about me and Adam Sandler movies. I'm pretty sure there's only a couple, and they're not ones you would expect that I've seen all the way through. I've seen The Wedding Singer.
That one is one I would expect.
I've seen, is it Punch Drunk Love?
That is not an Adam Sandler movie. That is
Adam Sandler is the lead character in that movie.
Okay, so would you say that movies that Tim Burton does are Tim Burton movies? Like there's an aesthetic,
yes,
to them.
Yes.
Do you think the other actors that are in those movies that are in other projects?
It depends on which actor you're talking about, because there are some actors who I feel like bring the Burton vibe wherever they go. Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, yeah, but like,
for instance.
But she's been in other, like she was in Fight Club.
Right. Yeah.
And that is not a Tim Burton movie, yes. Right? So. Adam Sandler movies are movies that are produced by Adam Sandler. All right,
so then I guess the only Adam Sandler movie I've seen that I can remember is The Wedding Singer.
Okay, because Punch Drunk Love, I think that...
The Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yeah, I think that maybe, or...
Something like that.
So some...
Okay, so golf, I understand. A guy or gal, or a non-binary individual hits a ball. They're trying to get it into a hole. All right, I get it. There's all sorts of extra rules, but pool, I get it. You're trying to get a ball into a, I understand when balls are trying to get into holes.
The thing about golf is I find it to be less of a sport than any team sport, because you may be competing against people, but you're not doing stuff as a player, like another player to someone else to prevent them from doing their golf. You can't, you're not like being Rodney, like.
Well, so in that respect, is gymnastics a sport?
It is. It could be. I guess.
You're not getting in the way of, I mean, you are.
It is a competition. Definitely.
Right. Okay. All right. I like this distinction. Here's my problem with soccer and hockey, to get back. And we've talked about this before, and it's a weak argument. I'm willing to stipulate that.
And I like socky, which is basically when you jerk off with a sock and a puck.
What do you do with the puck?
I don't know.
You come onto the puck?
Use your imagination, Chris.
I'd rather not.
Stick it up your vesicle.
Hockey and soccer.
Is it arm and hockey?
What's that?
Conqueror's hockey?
Conqueror's hockey? I don't know. I don't know
either.
My problem with soccer and with hockey is the playing field is too big. There's not enough scoring. It seems to me that the ball or the puck goes back and forth a whole lot without me understanding there being any strategy to it. I think part of that is because the field is so big, and maybe because I haven't watched it enough, but it seems to me there's a lot of times where somebody hits the puck all the way to the other side of the fucking rink. And the other team gets it. I'm like, well, what the fuck was the point of that?
Well, a lot of times that's icing, and they're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so there's a penalty, and then they have a face-off.
Okay. Similarly with soccer, I feel like it goes back and forth, and then because it's such a big field, I don't know. I feel like there aren't enough constraints, I think, is my problem with both of those. Hockey, I can respect hockey a little bit more because the rink is smaller. You know, because they're on skates, there's an element of speed
and danger.
Yeah, and because it's a smaller, more confined space. I mean, it's essentially the same sport as soccer. It's just with sticks and skates instead of a ball.
And then just old plain feet.
Yeah. but I think because the soccer field is so big, you know, somebody can kick the ball and then the ball will just be fucking sitting there.
You should watch Shaolin Soccer. That's a fun movie. Maybe that'll get you into soccer.
Takeshi's Castle. Is Takeshi's Castle, or Takeshi, however you say it, is that a sport?
You mean the one, the show that was that Most Extreme Elimination Challenge was based on?
Is that what? Yes. See, my only, and I've written this into a short story. It's, or actually, has that story even been published? I think it's in the next book. It's in a chapter of the next book at this point, where a bunch of people go over to a house based on my friend John's house, where my band used to play. House. And there used to be parties, and so
I went to one of those, I think.
Yeah, maybe, there was a party upstairs at this particular event that I'm fictionalizing. The band was scheduled to play downstairs. But upstairs at the party, our friend Will, at least this is my recollection, had brought over a tape of Takeshi's Castle.
It was Paul, and he...
Was it? I don't think Paul would have been at this...
No, it was Paul.
At this party?
And he brought his tape that he taped when he was in Japan.
You sure Will wouldn't have borrowed the tape from Paul?
Because
I cannot imagine Paul at this
Paul moment. Was at that party.
Okay. All right. Well, in the story, I think all those guys kind of coalesced into one. At any rate,
you just you have your consistent hard on for Will. Which was nice. You got to see him on my birthday.
I did not have a hard on when I did. I give him a hug. I might have just shook his hand. That enabled me to keep him from knowing that there was a boner going on.
There was some plumage.
No, I do not have a boner for Will. But at any rate, so this Takeshi's Castle, what I remember is somebody running across either a rope or a balance beam and getting balls shot at them. And then the guy would get a ball to the balls and fall over into a pit. And everyone in the room laughed and thought, I guess it was Paul, was the cleverest person in the room for finding this tape.
Because he just basically brought it home with him.
Right. At least these are all just my recollections.
There was that, and I think there was like an episode of Doraemon and some other shit. Bunch of ads for CC Lemon.
Is that a anime, manga?
No, that's a fucking
video game?
Beverage. It's a fucking beverage, man.
It's a fucking beverage, man. All right, so I don't know. I hope that's a good enough explanation of... Well, no. Oh, sorry. I didn't give you a chance to answer. Is that a sport?
What? Drinking CC Lemon? Of course it is.
All right, so I hope, Brian, that you're satisfied, at least to some extent, with that explanation of mine. I'm trying to unlock my phone here, and it doesn't want to work. And is it because I have headphones on?
Use your numbers, then. I'm not looking.
What the actual fuck? I'm looking right at you.
Sometimes it doesn't work, Chris.
Okay. All right. So...
It wants your ears in there.
Brian continues. Also, as a person that allegedly loves musical theater, you missed a solid reference from Steve last week. In fact, it was so good I couldn't believe Steve was the one that made it.
Because I'm not big on musical theater, but I just made another one earlier, which is why I said go to the email, because the tradition is from Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, God. My wife choreographed that in high school. She did, she was in college and she went back and choreographed it for her high school.
But I think Brian needs to give me slightly less credit. I mean, what I was referencing was Malcolm X, but the same reference is in Anything Goes.
Anything Goes.
So you can give me a little bit of credit for knowing that, Brian, but that's not what I was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I have seen Anything Goes once in college, put on by my my college's theater company, but I have not seen... what was the one we were just talking about?
Fiddler.
I have not seen Fiddler. No.
But you have seen Snakes on a Plane, right?
I have not seen Snakes on a Plane.
One of the seminal films of our time. Came out on my birthday, actually.
I did see The Crow again this weekend. I watched that again.
Oh, good. Yeah, how's Brandon Lee holding up?
Oh, gosh. All right. We'll get back to Brian's email. I got something on my throat. I don't want to get...
Don't you do it!
Horribly off topic. I managed to get it down. I don't want to get horribly off topic, but while I was watching The Crow, and I watched it because it was comfort food, right? It's a comfort movie. I was not feeling good. I was sick in bed. Friday, Saturday, not much of Sunday,
which is why we're recording on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just an extra. I gave you an extra day.
Yes.
So you could enjoy some like well being.
Yeah, yeah. Before we recorded. Not get you sick.
Well, there's a good chance, considering how many people were sick at work this past couple of days, I am going to get sick regardless. So.
Sorry. So
but it's not going to be your fault.
Okay. Sure. Well, everything's my fault.
Fuck you.
So The Crow. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and you know, certainly I know the story about Brandon Lee. I remember where I was in one of the hallways at Chelmsford High when the news broke that Brandon Lee had been killed on the set of that film, and then you know, sort of I was in line to go see it as soon as it came out.
Do you think that it would have been the moderate hit that it was?
Without his death, if
he hadn't died, yeah.
That's a good question. I think it is a good. Well, here's the thing. I was reading the Wikipedia entry, and at one point it was slated to just go direct to video. Warner Brothers, I think, was interested in. Was it Warner Brothers? Somebody was interested in it. Passed because of the material. I don't know when they passed on it, but Miramax picked it up.
Good old Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, and I think it's a good cult film. It's not too long. It holds up. It's not a film. You know, it actually does. It's a comic book movie, right? And it's a comic book movie before.
Before even Blade,
before any of these films that sort of started the whole thing again, and it does not, even though it's had sequels, that movie does not at all try to set up anything beyond that movie, and it was so refreshing because it was a story that was it began and it ended, and it was 2 hours or whatever it was. I mean, to answer your question, I don't think it would have had the amount of success it had. I don't even know if it would have gone into theaters if it hadn't been for the news. But once that did happen, I think, so it's impossible to answer.
Yeah,
but
so they probably didn't like
the soundtrack. I think was huge.
I don't think they had that.
No,
attached to it until he died, and then they're like all these bands were probably like, holy shit, we need to get our fucking song. Yeah,
there were two bands that were in the movie.
This moody 90s movie.
Yeah.
Although they weren't calling them 90s movies back then. They were just calling them movies.
Just calling them movies. But yeah.
You think they just call it food there?
God. I am looking at you. Oh, fucking hell. And I put in one of the more complicated passwords a couple of phones ago.
It's your own damn fault, Chris. It doesn't want to recognize no ears.
Yeah, I know. So I watched. Why did I bring up I was watching The Crow? I can't remember.
You brought it up before the show, and then that's what.
But I like rewatching.
It made me say, why didn't you watch something different?
Right. I like rewatching things because, well, especially like rewatching things when I'm not feeling good. And as somebody who struggles with anxiety as much as I do, I spend most of my life not feeling good. And so when people are like, well, how can you watch the same thing over and over again? A big part of it is that I'll get to a point where I can relax and I just want something that I know and love and can just like dive right into. The other part of it, and this is what interested me about the video you were watching, is that the things that I do watch or do read, I like to become a student of.
You know what? You should do a...
And that guy that you were watching before, definitely a student of Legend of Zelda,
Video games in general, but you know what you should do? You should take one of your favorite films of all time.
Okay.
We should do like a bonus episode where you just describe the events that happen in the film.
Okay. We open on an African savanna. They're saying something weird that sounds like Nabsavania.
Nabagisivava. They're saying Castlevania?
Castlevania.
Die, monster.
We open on Michael Douglas giving a voiceover over himself reading to a class. Yeah.
Anyway. What was that? Falling Down?
No, Wonder Boys. The beginning of Wonder Boys is Michael Douglas is reading a story. No, I think the narration starts first. He's narrating over footage of him reading a story to his Friday afternoon fiction workshop. It's good. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Well, Regarding Henry is one of mine.
Mm. Have I seen that all the way through?
I don't know why. Like, I have a fondness for that movie that people shouldn't. Because it's not good. It is like one of those movies.
It's Harrison Ford.
That doesn't make it good.
I mean, come on. Even the one with Anne Heche.
I
forget how I got dragged to see that movie. But yeah.
But like he's just this high-priced lawyer. He gets shot in the head by John Leguizamo, and then he becomes a little like slow,
mm-hmm.
and it takes him a while for him to learn how to talk and walk and all that shit again.
Yeah.
And then you know he's fascinated with Ritz because he was
like the crackers.
He was having an affair.
Oh, okay.
And
with who?
The buddy's lawyer, like a lawyer at the firm's wife or something like that. There was a whole to do with it, but like they were going to the Ritz to have the affair. That's why the first word he speaks is Ritz, and so the guy that's doing his PT and helping him out,
mm-hmm.
like he's like, get this man some rich crackers, and so they get. He becomes like obsessed with Ritz, and he's like doing paintings of the Ritz box.
Was it with Rebecca Miller?
Sure.
Was it Linda? Is Linda the?
I think
the,
Linda the, might or
Linda's the one.
I don't know if that is his wife or.
Well,
whatever.
Well, Sarah Turner, is Annette Bening plays his wife.
Yes.
And then the next, in terms of like scrolling down in credit order, Rebecca. Whoa, interesting. Rebecca Miller played Linda.
And, okay, so it might. I think Linda might have been the the person he was cheating on his wife with.
Yeah.
But then he becomes a sweetheart after not being a shithead lawyer anymore.
Hmm,
but I don't know why. I have this odd fondness.
J.J. Abrams is in that movie.
What?
J.J. fucking Abrams is a delivery boy in Regarding Henry. He's credited as Jeffrey Abrams.
All right. Look at that. Everybody's got to start somewhere. And,
yeah.
And it just fuck so happened to be Regarding Henry.
Regarding Henry. IMDb is so much fun to just sort of scroll through and you're like, what the fuck? You seen Avengers Endgame?
Yes. Okay. We talked about it on the show.
Right, okay. There's a guy that's credited as young Hank Pym in the credits. And I was like, bull fucking shit. That's fucking Michael Douglas. What the fuck are you talking about? And I had to like read like 3, 4, 5 different articles to finally get somebody to explain that the guy who got credited as young Hank Pym is just the guy who stood there and then they put Michael Douglas's face on.
So basically it was a young person with a good body.
Yeah.
And
But they didn't even need to do that shit because if you go back and you watch the one shot where we see young Hank Pym, he's behind a desk, right? They proved in Captain America: The First Avenger they can make fucking Chris Evans look like a skinny little shit. They can't make, and they've already shown that they can make fucking Kirk Russell. Not his dad. No, his buddy Kurt. His other... Kurt Russell. Anyway. Fuck! Okay, that worked. But it's funny to scroll through and see, like, who was in what.
Can you scroll to the end of Brian's email and then finish it?
I could. to not be too mean to Chris, writes Brian, here's something related to him. And it is a link to The Verge talking about Amazon's search results profitability change. Amazon reportedly changed its search results to boost more profitable products. They did indeed. I can say that. Finally, writes Brian.
Finally,
the drinking game. We got explanations on this. This is great. So the drinking game was One Piece references and Patton Oswalt references.
Okay, well, yeah, and Cookie.
And Cookie.
And I was saying Cookie.
And
I think Ritz now. I said that a fucking moist. Shit ton.
Wait, I think if it's going to be moist, it's going to be like...
Ew.
Moist. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm
getting everybody damp.
I should put a God, it makes me think of the scene from Private Parts where Howard has is it Jenna Jameson who does that? I think that might have been like Jenna Jameson. She was a popular porn star at the time. And I think she was...
I think people know who Jenna Jameson is.
I don't know. Maybe they don't. There's youngins who listen to this.
Really?
Aren't there?
I mean, are your students listening still?
I don't think
they still. Do they still know Chris?
We know Clark. I don't know. I'm not sure.
If I was a student,
I get really paranoid these days that if I mention that I have like a Pinterest or a this or a that, and I have a class,
and people are like,
I see students, like if I make some offhand comment like that, I see there's a couple of them that start typing on their laptops like really fucking fast, and I'm like, oh shit, what are they
gonna find? I'm surprised that like,
yeah, and then sometimes there's giggling.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are they? What are you?
Like? I don't know. I don't know what they like. I just. It's a class called magazine production.
Well, who the fuck would and think so, that their fucking professor would have social media?
Well, you know, I don't know.
You're not like 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even on yeah, even yeah, old yeah, people I'm have Facebook.
There. That's true. That's true. They do.
I mean, that's how. Which makes that's how weird. Elections are lost.
Yeah. So, buttons. Well, so that's Brian's email. Thank you, Brian, for writing to us. If you would like to write
to us. We'll talk about, to write, Brian, you're more than welcome to write another email. But if you're another person that isn't Brian, you're also welcome to write us an email.
Yeah, hot@clarkwoods.com. You can also leave us reviews and shit. I mean, we might as well mention
five stars, so maybe more people will find it randomly instead of having to seek it out.
Yeah, or go, you know, here's the new thing you can do. This is a fun little treat. It's related to a fun little treat. You can go onto YouTube and watch us and like us, right? Hit the bell, you know, to get notified and all that shit. But I think, you know, if you like us, then that will get fed into the algorithm.
And
we've always wanted to get fed to an algorithm.
And Gina was very nice to let us know that if you do have a Google Home, you can ask her, I think the prompt is like, okay, Google,
yes,
play Horribly Off Topic. Mm-hmm. And if you say that into it, it will do so.
Yeah.
It will play the most recent episode.
You sent me, I don't know if it was a video of, it sounded like it was a video of Becky doing it.
No, so, it was Gina.
It was Gina. Okay. So I didn't know if, I could not see a face. I could not even see a body. I just saw,
I think her dog was somewhere in the background.
I saw a, okay, cool. I dig it. Yeah, no, that was a neat little treat.
It was funny because like her reaction was the best because she was like, "Holy fucking shit, that worked!"
Yeah, I mean it's. I wonder if it's doing it through YouTube or if it's doing it through.
I imagine it's YouTube.
Spotify, because when you have a Google Home, you can set up both. Or maybe you have to pick one or the other, but
I think it's probably YouTube since Google is, you know,
right. That's the default one. But I do know you can set up Spotify through it as well. Cuz I have considered getting a Spotify just so that my YouTube search history doesn't get messed up by every time my dad decides to start playing music through the Google Home in the house.
It's fun because like every time Brian, a different Brian comes over, not every time, but like a couple of times in the past, he's screamed out to our, the one that's in this room that I'm not going to say because I don't want her to be like, what was that?
Oh, is it an Amazon device?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to do that, but he has done it twice where he's ordered dryer sheets for us. And the first time, Becky couldn't stop it, and I didn't realize why we had so many fucking dryer sheets downstairs. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why did you get more of these? But I actually didn't say that. I just realized, like, we got it, and I was like, oh, whatever. And I'm like, we have most of a box, and they were the big box, a bounce.
So it doesn't recognize your voice versus somebody else's voice. Because the Google Home, I was impressed by this. The Google Home in our house knows that I'm the person whose account is signed in. So if it asks something, I'm trying to think of an example, but there are certain things it will only answer if it knows my voice is the one asking it. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So it's like, is this you, Chris? Are you alone? You want to see some redheads right now?
I don't know that that's a thing that I've ever asked the Google Google. I mean,
yeah, well, it probably wouldn't be the best idea.
Yeah, no,
just
no,
to be like not. Having a redhead party.
Suddenly thought of the book Go Dog Go. It's a redhead party. It's a redhead party. Have you heard Go Dog Go?
I mean, when I was a child.
When you were a child.
Yeah, I mean, you have children, so I imagine you might have read it more recently than me.
That might just be the way that I read it. It's like, it's a dog party, a good, big dog party. I think there's something like that in there somewhere. When I was on, I keep thinking of this guy that you were showing me before.
Do you have a boner for Tim Rogers now?
Maybe, I don't know. No, hold on, let me check. No, when I was camping this August, my in-laws' kids well, my own kids get annoyed when I can recite Dr. Seuss from memory. They want, especially my youngest, she wants me to be holding the book and looking at the book. Even if I'm not actually reading the book, I need to be pretending to read the book and not doing it from memory.
You need to take a look. It's in a book.
But she, this all worked out for the best when when her cousin heard me doing it. Melody was about to stop me, my daughter, and her cousin was like, "No, can you do the whole thing?" And I was like, sure. And I did a huge chunk of the Sneetches. I don't think I did. Go Dog Go is P.D. Eastman, not Dr. Seuss. But like the Sneetches, the Sleep Book. I can do
Green Eggs and Ham.
I can't do that one as I haven't read that one as much. It's just weird. I mean, I've read it a lot, but I have not read that one enough that it's in the membrane, you know, insane in the brain.
That was Cypress Hill.
I can do 20. Is it 23? No, Too Many Daves. Too Many Daves.
I don't know that one.
Did I ever tell you that Mrs. McCabe had 23 sons and she named them all Dave?
I'm gonna leave. No. This is my house.
Yeah, no. but yes, it's that one is in. Is that one in your? What the fuck one is that in? No, that one's in the Sneetches. The Sneetches and Other Stories. There's two short story collections by Dr. Seuss.
I remember those books being all short. So they're even shorter than short? Ice cold.
I want to call the episode even shorter than short.
No, there's a better one in there earlier.
How am I going to find it? I got to go.
It's at the beginning of the show.
Oh, what was it? I don't know. I gotta start working on my water here. I'm gonna live up to my reputation of not drinking my water.
That's why we give you the little glass, Chris.
There are a couple of books in the Dr. Seuss collection that are shorter stories. You know, certainly like The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham, and those ones are shorter to begin with because they're part of the quote unquote beginners series.
So there's books that are like a little bit more girthy.
Yeah, well, like Horton Hears a Who is not a beginner book. That's like a full on Seuss.
Yeah. Full on, hard on for Seuss.
I'm gonna put that in there. Horton Hears a Who, Horton Hatches the Egg, Thidwick the Big-Hearted Moose.
Yeah, I never heard of that one.
But then you've got Yertle the Turtle and Other Stories. And you've got the Sneetches and Other Stories. Now, most people, if they know the Sneetches and Other Stories, they know the Sneetches and the Zacks because the cartoon was the Sneetches, the Zacks, and Greetings and Ham. When it was, I don't know if it was a half hour or an hour long special back in our youth.
I think that was on Disney Channel or something.
Yeah, I mean, it
because I remember it not having commercial break.
Yeah, it got played a lot. I remember seeing that one a lot when I was a kid, and so much that, and forgive me if y'all have heard this story before, when I first read The Sneetches to my kids, which was after years of never having seen the cartoon, I did not realize this at the time, but then when I saw the cartoon again a couple of years later, I realized it. I was doing from memory the voice of Sylvester McMonkey McBean from the cartoon.
Wow.
And I hadn't seen it.
It just must have been imprinted in there.
I mean, it was probably a shitty impression of that voice, but like it was what I was unconsciously trying to do.
What does it sound like?
Sylvester McMonkey McBean. He sounds a little bit like well, he's got the cadence of Walter Cronkite is kind of what he's going for. Yeah, he's like, let's see. Sylvester McMonkey McBean, and I've heard of your troubles. I can't have it in front of me. Fuck, I can't.
I thought you could do it without having it in front of you.
Well, the voice apparently, I've heard of your troubles. I've heard you're unhappy. But I can fix that. I'm the fix-it-up chappy.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, can you hear me?
I've come here to help you. I have what you need, and my prices are low, and I work at great speed, and my work is 100% guaranteed.
That's fucking amazing.
He takes the belly. He takes the stars off your belly, and he puts them back on again. It costs more to take them off than it does to put them on.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, getting a tattoo costs... Scott, well, I mean, it's a decent amount to get.
But
a tattoo,
I mean, I don't know.
I think to get laser surgery to get that fucking thing off.
But I don't think Dr. Seuss had any notion of laser surgery for tattoo removal.
Well, I mean, he was a fucking head of his time.
He was. He was ahead of his time, and a body of his time.
Right. Are we almost done? How much time do we have?
You get 10 minutes.
10 minutes. All right, that'll be enough time to talk about the New England Aquarium.
The New England Aquarium. You went to the New... I did not... We were talking before the show, like, what we were going to talk about, and I was like, I was sick in bed. You gotta carry this one.
But then we just talked about Brian's email for the entire time, and then we talked about Dr. Seuss again.
Yeah, well, you know... He,
was it Theodore Geisel?
Theodore Seuss Geisel, yeah. He's from Springfield.
Springton?
Springfield. He's from... He's Bart Simpson's neighbor.
No, Springfield is supposed to be in Oregon.
Springfield's supposed to be in Chelmsford. Got a Zesty's Pizza. Town Hall looks like our public library.
Right.
why are you putting the emphasis on the syllable New England
Aquarium? I don't know. I'm just being a goof.
Have you ever been to the Old England Aquarium?
I have never been to Old England, so no.
You didn't even... Oh, yeah, I guess you didn't stop at Heathrow on your way to Ireland.
No, we went straight to Dublin.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I guess that's closer, right?
Yeah, going to Ireland to travel to directly to Ireland? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Dublin, maybe it's a small place. You got to go to a more major airport over there in the UK.
There is not a more major airport in Ireland. Isn't part of the UK.
It is?
No, it's not. No,
I'm saying you got to go over to the UK where you know, a real country where there's real airports.
Why are you trying to fucking throw shade at Ireland?
I don't know. I've got a little Irish in me. I guess I shouldn't. I guess I should, you know, give
you
a little.
You don't need to be a troll all the time, Chris. You can just be like, hey, the Irish are cool.
But they're not. I mean, you know.
Why are you saying that? Have you ever fucking been there?
I haven't been there because I don't have a passport.
Yes, that's a thing you should get. Maybe you could go to a place.
Maybe I could. We were debating about real ID versus, because I've been trying to get my driver's license renewed, and, you know, real ID versus unreal ID.
Like the Unreal ID engine?
I
programming every fucking video game with now?
Yes, and. So we were like, well, I had read something that made me think the real ID cost more, and I was like, well, why the fuck am I going to pay more for this thing? If I want to leave the country, I still have to get a fucking passport. And that was so Stephanie's point was, could you go to Canada with a real ID? I was like, no, you still have to get a fucking passport. So she's like, all right, just get the regular one and we'll go get passports.
Don't you have to get a real ID by a certain date, though?
To get into federal buildings or fly domestically if you don't have a passport. If you have a passport, you can still fly domestically. All right,
so just get a passport.
Yeah, then. But if you want to, if you were going to go to court for whatever reason.
What if you had to go to court?
You'd be shit out of luck is what it was, what it sounds like. That was the part I couldn't understand.
Like, what if you get jury duty?
I don't know. I don't know what you do.
If you don't have a federal ID and you get jury duty, you can't
go into the building.
But like, but then I don't think they're going to buy that as an excuse that you can't fucking serve on a jury. So you're going to fucking get a warrant for your arrest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
But then you can't travel into the courtroom.
No, to get, like, you can't.
It's a fucking catch-22.
This is what I don't understand. Like, if you're going to need this to fly and to get into federal buildings, which include, well, could you go into a
house
state?
With a mouse?
No. I would not, could not with a mouse. No, could you go into a local courthouse?
Yeah, I suppose like a state.
Like a state court. You could go into a state courthouse. So they could give you a fine.
Couldn't go to federal,
at the state.
Pound me in the ass court.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you could. So yeah, it's a really good question. I have had students in the past do their internships at courts, and but I don't think any federal ones. I think they've done them at Massachusetts, like district courts and things. So
I've been like, it's funny. Like somebody that I work with has recently had jury duty, and then like another one of my colleagues has it coming up, and the last time I had it, the last time I got a summons was right when I had moved to New Hampshire.
Oh, gosh.
And I hadn't changed over my shit yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally just moved, or was about to, and I'm like, yeah, I am not going to live in Massachusetts anymore. So, and they're like, yeah, that's a decent excuse why you can't serve on a jury in Massachusetts.
Right.
You no longer living in the state. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, I got excused from jury service, but I have since moved back.
Yeah.
So I've been, I've kind of like, I feel different now, like that I'm older.
Yeah.
I would kind of want to be on a jury.
Yeah. Now. Well, I did.
That I'm older and wiser and not a dumb shit like I was when I was younger.
I don't mind the, I did 6 months of grand jury duty in New Hampshire. One of the things I wondered was, and that was very,
I don't want to be on fucking grand jury for a fucking.
Well, grand. I can explain grand jury. It was not that tough.
Did you have to go like once a week?
Once a month.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
For usually 2 days, some days, if it was a really light, caseload, it might just be one day.
A light flow.
Yeah, but I heard some nasty shit in there, so it was stressful. And so I remember, you know, I moved back and I was like, does the fact that I did jury duty in New Hampshire, is that gonna influence, you know, whether I get called up or not in Massachusetts? And I was like, no, probably not.
Nope.
But
every 3 years you're back into it. So yeah. I don't know. Do you have to live in Massachusetts for 3 years before they will send you a summons?
I want to knock on some fucking wood here.
This is particle board. I don't know.
I have not gotten a summons yet, and I've been back in Massachusetts for 4 years.
Yeah, I've been back for longer, so.
Yeah. 4, 5? I don't know. 4 years. Yeah, so...
Yeah, when we started the show, I had, maybe about 8 or 9 episodes is when I moved back, and you were still in New Hampshire at that
right.
point.
Yeah, I didn't move till middle of 2015. But I haven't been summoned yet.
I wouldn't mind going. I would not mind going and doing a little jury duty.
No, I would absolutely, you know, there's the sort of... inconvenience of figuring out the schedule and stuff. And as a teacher, it was a little rough when I had that 6 months of trying to figure out, you know, do I cancel a class or, I was also working at Apple at the time. So scheduling was a fucking disaster, but yeah, as a civic duty, like I am in, I'm totally with you. I'm in a different place. When I was younger, I was like, fuck this shit. I do not want to be, you know, the couple times I actually went into the courthouse, I was just like, please don't.
I did. I put on my Sunday best, and I was ready. Like the one time I actually had, I went, and it was, of course, in Cambridge.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And so, you know, I wasn't as aware of the geography back then. Mm-hmm. It was like, because I was still in college, and I don't know, it was just. Went
Cambridge,
down there.
You know,
it was in the summer too. So it's
when
like
we were younger, Cambridge seemed like, I don't know if it was this way for you, but Cambridge and Boston was like, all right, there are 2 or 3 subway stops. That's as far as I'm driving. And then I'm taking the T from wherever I go from there. And if it's not near a subway stop, I'm not going there. And nowadays, I
understand
the lay of the land. Yeah. I've been taking an even more circuitous route the last 2 days because they finally got me a permanent parking pass. And I'm on a slightly different lot. So, I drive every fucking back road I can.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Becky did it when she was working in Somerville.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it was right on the Cambridge line, like right near Porter Square Station.
Yeah, yeah. That's a real pain in the ass to get into. That's pretty close to where I, so right along the same stretch, that border. And there's no elegant way to get in to that city.
Not at all. That's why, as much as it takes longer for me to get in via public transport,
yeah,
I still opt for it, just because if I was white knuckling it, like, for, let's say, hour 15, I'd be fucking up here when I get home, and I don't want to do that to Becky.
No, it's, yeah, the only way I'm making it, I've been reading this book, I've been reading a whole bunch of articles and things, you know, trying to deal with the anxiety and whatever, and, you know,
a couple of farticles. There are articles about farts.
One of the common threads is, like, you know, identifying what things do you like to do, what things do you not like to do, and it's like, I don't like to sit in my fucking car, so the only way I'm making it work is by, you know, I drive to get in there for 7 in the morning and leave at 3.
That's the only way you could have, like, even slightly better, like, because if you left at, like, a normal time,
yeah, no,
you would never work there.
yeah. I mean, back, I did 8 to 4 for a lot of years, and that just drove me absolutely bananas.
Were you living in New Hampshire then?
The first couple of years we were living in Massachusetts, I was doing 8 to 4.
Okay.
Back when I was in New Hampshire, I was not going in every day.
But you were smoking weed every day.
Hey, you know what? We just passed an hour and you still didn't talk to me about the New England aquarium.
I mean, what's to say? I mean,
are fish.
The touch tank wasn't open. They were cleaning it or
you
want to
touch stuff.
Yeah, I want to touch a Ray, the thing that killed Steve Irwin.
Poor Stevie.
Yes, poor Stevie.
Poor Stevie. His kids are doing all right, though, right?
Cool.
I don't know. They seem to be, like, carrying on dear old dad's tradition.
Are they messing with animals now, too?
I think so. I think, you know, that's their stock and trade when you're in Irwin. Oh. So the touch tank was broken.
Well, yeah, it was like, yeah, I don't know if they drained it or if it broke or something, but it was just, it smelled really musty in there. We went in, but, like, because there's, like, a shark thing below.
You touch the sharks?
There wasn't sharks in there. It was just, I think there's supposed to be sharks in the touch tank. And
was there a Sharknado?
Yes. It was spinning around and it, like, what was it? The guy for Ian Ziering was there.
Oh, Ian Ziering.
Oh.
Make sure you get that you get a respect. I've a person's
got my eye on Ziering.
There's no
show notes. You can read this synopsis in wherever you get your podcast. on YouTube, right?
Yeah. You can rate and review us wherever you get those podcasts.
Give us a thumbs up if you're watching/listening on YouTube, give us a thumbs up.
Yeah.
If you're listening on iTunes, give us some 5-star rating.
Yeah, and, like, send us an email.
Yeah, send us emails. Interact, because then you could be part of the show, and you can make it so we talk about things, and then get horribly off topic them.
That was great.